And I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. And I want you to stand and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 38. And so this lady looked at her husband and said, "Honey, what are you most thankful for about me this Thanksgiving? Is it my gorgeous looks? Is it my outstanding personality? Is it my cooking?" And he said, "Honey, I am most thankful this Thanksgiving for you concerning your imagination." Amen. Now, you might get that a little bit later on. Oh, my. You better stay good with the lady for Thanksgiving. That's the short answer to that. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. I'm serious. You're going to catch that a little bit later tonight. You'll start laughing. We'll know you got it. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. If you're glad to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God is on the throne. Say amen.
Amen.
They can't impeach him. Say amen.
Amen.
And he's not. And they can't vote him out. Say amen. And he's not planning to resign. And Romans chapter 8 tells us this. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Some of the greatest scriptures you'll ever read is in this passage here tonight. Verse 31, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
"What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I want to speak to you tonight on the thought, thanksgiving every day. Father, tonight, thank you for the Word of God that we've read. Thank you for the Spirit of God that we feel. Thank you for the power of God that will be released. And thank you, Lord, that you have given us and blessed us beyond any measurably all we can ask or think. Anoint your servant to preach the Word tonight, and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're thankful for them tonight. Amen. Thankful for you tonight. Now, if I were to give you a pop quiz and ask you the question, when is Thanksgiving Day? I wonder how many of you could give me the correct answer. When is Thanksgiving Day? Check, 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 check. Now, some people may say it's a certain date of the year. Now, I want you to know that Thanksgiving Day was first enacted by George Washington, the first president of the United States. He proclaimed November the 26th as a day of Thanksgiving. After that, Thanksgiving Day continued to be celebrated on different days and in different states until finally Abraham Lincoln in 1863 issued a proclamation saying this, that the whole American people are to observe a special day of Thanksgiving on the last Thursday of November of every year. So ever since, each president has issued a Thanksgiving Day proclamation designating the fourth Thursday of each November as the official Thanksgiving Day, and the day after as Black Friday. No, that wasn't included. Amen. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, does anybody in here know the Lord Jesus Christ? I've got good news for you. Thanksgiving is not a holiday. Thanksgiving is every day. I mean, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we ought to be thankful and to praise the Lord. Thanksgiving is every day in the life of a believer. And I want to give you three things that we can be thankful for every single day of our life, regardless of the news, regardless of our environment, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our condition. There are three indelible truths found in Romans chapter 8 that we can be thankful for and make Thanksgiving not a holiday, but a day, every day for the life of the believer. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Amen. Number one, I am thankful every day. Say that with me. I am thankful every day, number one, that God stands for me. That God is for me. Now go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be what? Who can be? Actually, it says, not really in the Greek, if God be for us, it really reads, since God is for us. Say that. Since God is for us, then who can be against us? Now, to the question who, the answer is nobody. To the question what? Nothing. To the question when? Never. To the question where? Nowhere. So I want you to know who, what, when, and where. All of those questions are answered. Who can be against us? Nobody. What can be against us? Nothing. When can things be against us? Never can anything be against us. Where can things be against us? Nowhere can anything be against us. Well, you don't know the bills I got to pay. I said nothing can be against us. You don't know what happened last Thursday. I said nothing can be against us. I wish you would give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. God plus one is a majority. There is nothing today that me and God can't handle. Amen. Some of you don't act convinced because there's nothing today, nothing tomorrow that me and God can't handle. Joseph learned that in prison. Job learned that on the ash heap. Joshua learned that at the walls of Jericho. Jonah learned that in the belly of the whale. David learned this against Goliath. Daniel learned this in the lion's den. Elijah learned this on Mount Carmel. Moses learned that lesson at the mighty Red Sea. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned that lesson in the fiery furnace. Paul and Peter learned that lesson in the prison. Jesus learned that lesson in the grave. I said nothing can separate us. Nothing can be against us. And I am thankful that every day God stands for me. Say amen. One of the great promises of the Bible that you need to write with a pen of steel and in unerasable ink is Isaiah 54 and 17. I've quoted this, read it, slept on it, prayed over it, fasted over it, shouted over it. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17 says that no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me. I want you to know people sometimes will falsely accuse you, but I'm here to tell you, you can be thankful every day because God is going to have the final say. Don't you take it in your own hands. Do what you need to do, but let people say, let them wave their wagging tongues, but God's got a plan. He's got a purpose, and if you're in the Lord, I said, no. Who can be against you? Nobody. And what can it be against you? Nothing. When can it be against you? Never. And where? Nowhere. Somebody say amen tonight. Now, how can we be so confident in light of what we all know that we face every single day? Go to Romans 8, verse 32, and here's the secret of it. Romans 8 and verse 32. If you're there, say amen. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him freely give us all things. We're going from the greater to the lesser. If God gave His Son to us before we were saved, what will He not give us now that we are saved? So you got to understand, God gave you the greatest gift before you ever deserved that gift, before you ever existed to deserve that gift. You never deserved it. You never will deserve it, but yet God gave it to you. Now, if God gave it to you before, what's He going to do now? Does anybody know the Lord tonight? Amen. If God gave His Son to us while we were sinners, what will He not now give to us while we are His sons? If a man will offer you his son, there's nothing else he probably wouldn't give you. Now, I've never had children, but I can only imagine if I had a son, I wouldn't give my son up for anything or anybody. Would any of you parents give your children up? Think about it for a minute and then let me know, okay? You know, after you've been through what you went through with them last week, you probably might not mind giving them up, amen. But the truth of the matter is, when it gets down to it, you wouldn't give up your children. Amen. But let's say you did give them up. Let's say, I'm going to give up my son for the worst person in the world. Well, if you'll give somebody your son, you wouldn't mind throwing in your son's Xbox. You wouldn't mind throwing in your son's DVDs. You wouldn't mind throwing in your son. Are you following my logic here tonight? In other words, how could God give us the greatest gift of His Son and then hold back on the everyday things that we need? Can I get a witness out there? Amen. And you see, there's a story about a wealthy Roman who had a son who was rebellious and wayward, and he broke his heart. And he had a slave who acted better than his son. And so when he grew to love like a son, and on his deathbed, he decided to disinherit his son and give everything to his slave. His slave's name was Marcellus. So after the man died, the will was read, and the executor, speaking to the son, said, "This will says that your father has deeded everything he owns to his slave, Marcellus." Now you can imagine how angry and upset the son was. Then the executor of the will said, "However, you may choose one item from the estate your father left." You can choose one item. He said, "You can have one item." And the original son, he thought about it, and he said, "I choose Marcellus." Because he knew if he got Marcellus, he'd get everything. Amen. Woo! Praise God tonight. When you accept Jesus Christ, you get everything that God has. He freely gives us all things. We are blessed and highly favored of God. And if God doesn't give it to you, you didn't need it to start with. I can be thankful every day that God stands for me. And if you believe it, would you clap your hand and say praise the Lord tonight? He is for me. He gave His Son for me. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, "He must have chosen me before I was born. He would have never chosen me after I was born." Amen. Number two, we can be thankful every day, not only that God stands for me, but that God stands with me. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 33. It says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." Now I want you to notice that phrase, "bring charge." It's one word in the Greek language. It's a legal term which means to indict or to formally accuse. So the question is, who would bring a accusation or a charge against one of God's children that they are not worthy, that they're not worthy of God's love, worthy of heaven, or of eternal life? Now, who would bring anything to the charge of God's elect? You got any guesses tonight? Who? Absolutely, absolutely. Revelation 12 and 10 speaks of the accuser of our brethren, and he's been cast down to the earth. He accused them before God day and night. Satan spends a lot of his time in the courtroom as our prosecuting attorney trying to condemn us for the times that we fail and the times when we go wrong. The truth of the matter is when Satan brings an accusation to God about our sins, he actually is right. Think about it. It is not hearsay. It is not circumstantial evidence. The truth of the matter is even after you become a follower of Jesus, you still mess up. You still sin. I just want to say, is there the last week of your life, the last 7 days, did you have even one thought to pass through your mind that you shouldn't have had? Don't answer out loud. Did you say even one thing about somebody else or to somebody else that you shouldn't have in the last 7 days? I'm not talking about the last 7 hours. I'm talking about the last 7 days. Here's one that will get all of us. Did you fail to do something that you should have done in the last 7 days? You might not have said something wrong. You might not have done that. But you probably did not pass out a tract or witness to somebody who the Lord's put upon your path. So I just want fair to say in the last 7 days, we've all blown it somehow or another. And in our own human strength, we're undeserving and unworthy. So here comes the devil laying a charge against God's elect. Oh, but listen. What the devil doesn't realize that is the case is fixed. Because, listen, the judge is also our defense attorney. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8 and 34. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and yea, rather, is risen, who is at the right hand of God, and who also intercedes for us. Can I get a witness out there tonight? Now, the word condemn is a legal word that refers not to the indictment, but to the verdict, the judgment that is given. If you think about it, can you imagine being in God's courtroom and the devil is the prosecuting attorney? He has his briefcase full of all the things you've done wrong, and you need a defense attorney. But look at what 1 John 2 and 1 says. 1 John 2 and 1 says that, and I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation so you don't have to pull it up. 1 John 2 and 1 says, but if you do sin, hello? There is someone to plead for you before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who pleases God completely. Now, the Greek word for the one who pleads our case literally means legal counsel or defense attorney. Now, you might be thinking right now, I've got this thing in the bag. After all, my defense attorney is Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, we have the prosecuting attorney who's the devil. Say amen. But I got a defense attorney whose name is Jesus. Can you say amen? But it gets even better than this. Because according to John chapter 5 verse 22, that the Father leaves all judgment to the Son. So God is the judge, says to my defense attorney, it's your call. You make the judgment. Woo, now how many of you, if you got in some trouble and you hired an attorney to get you out of that speeding ticket down there on Tarboro Street and you run through a red light and you're going 65 and a 45 and then the blue light and you have to get a defense attorney, and how would you like it if the judge looked at the defense attorney who you've paid $500 and says, you make the call, is he guilty or innocent? Man, you've done, praise God, you're all scot-free. Can I get an amen out here tonight? Praise God. Oh, O.J. Simpson couldn't have got better dream team than that. Amen. You remember the O.J. Simpson trial? Maybe you millennials don't, but don't go back and watch it. It's not worth it. But I'll tell you what, we were mesmerized. Oh, Johnny Cochran got up there and said, if it does not fit, you must acquit. And who's going to police the police? I'm telling you, it was the trial of the century. And old Johnny Cochran was as smooth as silk, and he could get that old fella off the hook. I'm getting people stirred up right now talking, so let me hush real quick. But the point is, it worked. Are you with me? Whether you like it or not, it worked. Praise God, Jesus is a whole lot better than any Johnny Cochran out there. He's the judge. He's the jury. He's already died and rose again, and I can be thankful that he stands with me. Come on and give him a hand of praise here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the devil, he brings up pictures. He brings up Exhibit A. He brings up the past. He plays a recording. He goes through your internet log. There's confessions. But the defense never calls a witness. The devil's showing mountain of it. That was another O.J. Simpson. A mountain of evidence. The Marsha Clark's closing comments. Maybe I got into it more than most people did. I don't know. This was before 24-hour news cycle. But she got up there and said, here's a mountain of evidence. Let me tell you, the devil's presented a mountain of evidence. What evidence do you have? Defense attorney pulls out his hand. Said, there's a nail scar. And therefore, he's redeemed and he's saved. Can you say amen? Amen. Paid in full. Actually, your case has been settled out of court. Do you know what that means? You got to. Now, folks, my family didn't go to church. I was the only one that went to church. I had a lot of cousins and uncles, and every now and then they'd get in a little rift with the law. And they'd get a court date, they'd get to fighting, or go down to the Brown's Lounge out there in Little Mexico down there on 301. and they'd get a little rowdy. Anyway, that's just my family. And I don't know about your cousins, but they'd get a court date, they'd have to be there Thursday morning, 9 o'clock at Nash County Courthouse, and something would happen. They'd get into the hall and they'd get to whispering, and before they ever went to the court, they settled it. And I just want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, God's already settled it. Amen. The debt has been paid. And are you thankful for that? Amen. Excuse me. Are you thankful that you're the turkey that got pardoned? Hallelujah. And you're not going to be. You know, the president every year pardons a turkey. Oh, praise God. I am so glad. I've been pardoned and I'm not going to be for dinner next week. Amen. I am redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is mine. I am thankful that God stands for me. I am thankful that God stands with me. If you're thankful for it, can you say amen tonight? And number three, I am thankful every day, Thanksgiving every day, that God stands not only for me, with me, he stands by me. Now look at chapter 8, verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loves us. Did you notice that this passage begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation? Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. And then at the end of Romans, there is no separation. Have you thought about the mathematics of salvation? Think about this. God came to us as sinners and added grace to our life. He then subtracted sin from our account. He then multiplied forgiveness and favor, and therefore there can be no division between us and the Lord. How you like that kind of mathematics? Amen. He added grace. He subtracted sin. He multiplied favor. There is no division in his blessings and promises. Amen? Yes. Verse 37, brother, put it up there. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. I did not know this until today. That's why I love to study. I like to learn new things. People say, well, study this. Let me tell you, 1 million billion years from tonight, somebody's going to be sitting up in heaven somewhere going, oh, I just learned something new about God. Because you'll never, ever, ever quit learning about God, because his creation can never comprehend the Creator. Amen? So it's always going to be exciting. I learned something new tonight. And did you know that the Bible was written in Greek? And when you study the Greek in Romans chapter 8, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Do you know how that literally reads? If we literally translated it from the Greek to the English, it would literally read this. In fact, the New American Standard, the NASB, correctly translates that into English much better than the King James, although we revere Brother King James. But listen, and Romans 8 and 37 reads like this, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him that loves us. Now, the word literally means a super conqueror. It comes from two words, the word Nike, which means victor. Nike. Anybody ever heard of Nike shoes? Nike shoes? Air Jordans? That's another millennials don't know about. Amen. You know, I'm just telling you. There was this guy named Michael Jordan. He used to play basketball in the 90s. And he could do amazing things with a basketball. Unbelievable. Nobody saw anybody like him. He's from Wilmington, North Carolina originally. Laney High School down in Wilmington. But listen, the word Nike is where the word conquer comes from. And so it means victor or victory. And the word hyper, which means over and above. Do you know that the difference between, listen, the difference between a conqueror and a hyper conqueror or overwhelmingly conqueror or a super conqueror. And really, you've got basketball players, but then you have Michael Jordan. Come on, gotta go get a witness out there. Has anybody ever heard of Stacey King? Has anybody ever heard of Michael Jordan? You've heard of Stacey King? All right. Well, Stacey King played basketball with Michael Jordan. And one night, Stacey King made 1 point. And the other, on that same night, Michael Jordan made 59 points. All right, y'all following what I'm saying here? Stacey King made 1 point. Michael Jordan made 59 points. And Stacey King, after the game in the press conference, says, I will always remember this game as the night that Michael Jordan and myself combined and made 60 points. Super conqueror. Nike. I want to go buy me some Nike tennis shoes tonight. Amen. I didn't really know that the word. Did you know the word Nike meant conqueror, super conqueror? Now I understand the marketing strategy. But listen, what is the difference between a conqueror and a super conqueror? Listen, a conqueror is someone who fights a battle and wins it. That's a conqueror. You fight a battle and win it. But a super conqueror is someone who knows the battle is won before it's even fought. You already got it. It's already done. I tell folks, we just had the World Series. And, you know, the World Series is the best of 7 games. So, theoretically, whoever wins 4 games has won the series. And so, let's just say, for example, who played the World Series? The Los Angeles something? Dodgers and the Houston Astros. So let's say the Astros and the Dodgers, I work at Best Buy. I don't watch this stuff, I promise you. Sorry about that, Lazaro. You'll find out. But anyway, so whoever wins the 4th game, the series is over. They're not going to play game 5, 6, and 7, correct? So whoever gets to game 4 wins. Well, let's suppose the rules were such that they must play 7 games. And let's just say, who actually won the World Series? The Los Angeles guys? Houston won it? I apologize that I didn't remember that. If it ain't the Cowboys or the Duke Blue Devils, I don't care who it is. Come on. So, and y'all pray for me. Amen. Because right now things ain't looking super nice right now. Amen. But, the Houston Astros, let's just say the Houston Astros, let's just say they won the first 4 games, but the Los Angeles Dodgers, let's say that they had to play game 5, and let's say Los Angeles won game 5. Let's say they won game 6. And let's say they get to the last game and they win game 7. Can I ask you a question? Does it make a difference? Well, they won 3 games, but it didn't make a difference. It's best of 7. Are y'all still awake tonight? I'm just trying to tell you that Jesus Christ has already won the first 4 games for you. Now, you may lose a battle tomorrow, or you may come up short next week. And the devil may win in your life game 6. Doesn't matter. It's already won, glory to God. Just play it out. Get to game 7, and you may come limping in on the last home plate, but that's all right. Game 4 has already been won 2,000 years ago. Now rejoice. Be thankful. Praise His name. Don't care about what people say. Don't care about what people, the doctor says. Don't care about what somebody puts on Facebook or tweets. Let me here to tell you tonight to be thankful that God is standing by you. Give Him a hand of praise. We are more than conquerors. Super overwhelmingly conquerors. That's, you know, walk around and differently. You know, don't walk around like you're broke, busted, and disgusted. And you actually might be broke, busted, but you don't have to be disgusted, because you ain't gonna stay broke. I'm not parking here. Amen. There's a sign I saw one time that says, no parking. Listen, we don't need to park on the past. We don't need to park on what people have said about us. We need to keep moving on. We might lose game 5 and 6, but praise God, we are already winning. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? This one guy was, good gracious, y'all might get out early tonight. I'm about done. There was a man that was bragging to a bunch of kids about how strong he was. You know, he was telling a story how strong he was. He said, I'm so strong that one time I took my little pocket knife, and with that little pocket knife, I cut the tail off of this big man-eating lion. And those kids were like, woo. And this little kid with huge eyes said, wow, that's unbelievable. Why didn't you cut his head off? The man said, somebody else had already cut it off. Praise God. God's already cut the head off of the lion. Amen. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful. Praise God tonight. I am so thankful that God stands with me, and God stands by me, God stands for me, and that makes every day a holiday. Amen. Every day, Thanksgiving Day. I want to close tonight. I told you I was going to be a little short tonight. But I want to close tonight by telling you about what happened to a missionary. And then I'll ask the pastor to come and we'll have prayer. And then the kids are going to join in. But his name was Stephen Olford. He tells about an event that took place when he was a child living with his missionary parents. He said that his parents had gone out to prayer meeting one night. And it was hot and humid, and he opened the windows to get some breeze blowing through. And as he was there in his room, just sitting there, minding his own business, suddenly a leopard jumped through the window and started prancing and then setting itself, obviously aiming for his jugular vein, just waiting to strike and devour him. So here he is sitting, and a leopard comes through the window and starts going back and forth, setting itself, ready to strike. And Stephen Olford was absolutely helpless. Nothing he could do. He could not do a thing. But just as the leopard was about to spring to attack, his pet dog came in, and as the leopard sprang The dog came in, took the leopard's bite, and the leopard took that dog and just tore him up, but it gave Stephen enough time to get out. He said, would you stand with me tonight? He said, in all my life, I'll never forget hearing that dog dying for me. My friend, I want you to know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died for you. And if he gave his son for you, there is no job, no blessing, no promotion, Brother Kyle. There's nothing, no healing, nothing that he will not do for you. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that this evening. Can you lift your hands and just give him thanks and praise tonight? Lord, we bless you tonight. Lord, we thank you that you stand for us, that you stand by us, that you stand with us, God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. God, we thank you that the game has already, the series has already been won. We thank you that you took the leopard's kill and you saved us so that we can live to you. Now, Lord, we give back to you thanks. We give back to you praise. We give back to you glory. And we give back to you honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Brother Tom, come up here. And Pastor Jerry, come on up. And before we end tonight, I'll let the pastor end it like he wants to end. But I want you to give the Lord a thanksgiving hand of praise here.
Hallelujah. Yes. Makes me want to sing He's All I Need. Hallelujah. Thank God we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. No weapon formed against you shall ever prosper, because we've got Jesus and He's all we need. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. He's the ripple of the stream. He's the God of everything.
Oh, yes, He is. Hallelujah.
He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was dead, but now He's alive. He holds the keys you dare not strive. He's my rock. He's my staff. He's my God. He'll make a way. Sing it, church. I said He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. Glory, glory. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. He's the high priest of my soul. He's the high priest of my soul. He is my highest goal. He's the light in the darkest night I see. He picks me up when I'm way down. He's my God, He holds my crown.
Yes, come on.
And some sweet day is coming after you and me. Hallelujah. I said He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I love this part right here. But He's the one I long to see. He's done so much for me. He saved me when I was so lost in sin. put joy down in my soul. Now heaven is my goal.
Yes.
And some sweet day coming after you and me, sing it, church. I said he's all that I need.
Every day.
He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. Now he's the one I long to see. He's done so much for me. He saved me when I was so lost in sin. He put joy down in my soul. Now heaven is my goal. And some sweet day is coming after you and me. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. He's all that I need.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Jesus is all I'll ever. The high priest of my soul. But he's the high priest of my soul. He is my highest goal. He's the light in the darkest night I see. He picks me up. I'm way down. He's my God. He holds my crown. And some sweet day is coming after you and me. Hallelujah. I said he's all that I need.
Oh, yeah.
He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. He's all that I need. Bring him on in. Come on, Junior. Jesus is all I'll ever need. Bring him on. I said he's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all. Come here, Junior. Need. Come here, Eli. He's all that I need. Bring him down here. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever. Bring both those little boys down here. Hallelujah. He's the high priest of my soul. He is my high junior. He's the light in the darkest night I see.
Come on, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
he puts joy down in my soul. Now heaven is my goal. And some sweet day coming after you and me. Sing it, church. I said he's all that I need. He's all that I need.
Oh, yes.
Jesus is all I'll ever need. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. One more time, he's all I need. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. Jesus. I said, Jesus is all I'll ever need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.